Please turn to John chapter 6, John chapter 6, and we are going to read verses 65 through 71 together. John chapter 6, verses 65 through verse 71. We'll read this passage responsively. I'm going to catch my breath while you're turning. All right, John chapter 6, verses 65 through 71, and let's read this passage responsibly. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And let's finish on verse 71. Ready? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it is his that should betray him, being one of the 12. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Holy Spirit of God, would you anoint me as I preach? Would you give me your power? Would you allow me the hearing and the spiritual hearing of the people here in this room? Thank you for those that are visiting, the return visitors, and the faithfulness of these, your people here at Grace Baptist Church. Would you make today a milestone in our church? Make this the day a rock that would be set as a day that we would remember from this day forever, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Now, John chapter 6 is a very interesting passage. John chapter 6 is one of those passages that if you only casually read the Bible. And by the way, it's not wrong to casually read the Bible. I'd rather you read that than something else. But if you just casually read it, you may miss a few things about it. And I'm going to kind of catch us up on it and give you a little background before I actually jump into the truth for the day. Here in John chapter 6, it starts with a multitude of people seeing and coming to see Jesus do miracles. This is where thousands were fed with a lunch, and the Bible says that the multitudes came to hear and to see him and see what he would do unto them. They came to Jesus to get something from him. They wanted to see what this was all about. Then they either wanted a miracle for them or they wanted to see him do a miracle for someone else. These are the people that would casually just come and go and be as they wanted to around Jesus. Then you find out a little while later in the chapter, there's a group of about 40 people who are a little closer to him. That little group of 40 people are the 40 who actually helped him with the miracle and other things that were going on in this passage. They were not just the 12 disciples, but if you notice, it said that many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Just so you know, Jesus had more than 12 disciples. And some of those were this 40. They helped with many of the miracles, and they got a little closer to Jesus than just the multitude that would come and go. They actually did things with Jesus, but I want you to notice that not all 40 of them made it. Then you had, he says, then there's a group of 12. He said, 12 of you will be my disciples. Then he said, of that 12, one of you is a devil and isn't going to make it. And I want you to notice how we started with a multitude, which is thousands, went to 40, went to 12, went to 11. When Jesus was at Calvary, there was only 3 at the foot of the cross. Now, by the way, that's junior church. Don't let it bother you. I'm glad they're excited, and I'm glad the noise is out there and not in here. Amen? Now, wait a minute. That is kind of how John chapter 6 works its way through. Jesus is down to 12 disciples. He is facing Calvary. He is warning his disciples, and he said, in a little while, I'm about to leave this place. He said, they're going to kill me. He said, I want you to stay with me, not just till my life ends, but I want you to keep on going even if I'm not here. Now watch this. Don't worry. Everything's all right. Jesus didn't look at Calvary. Jesus was looking at the resurrection. Jesus knew there was a Calvary, but he also knew there was a resurrection. It wasn't just that Jesus was going to die. He was going to get up from the grave. He said, there's more coming. When my life quits breathing this breath here for a little while, don't despair. Don't panic. It's going to be all right because I'm getting back up, fellas. That excites me. You see, he realized after he got up, the gospel had to go around the world. He needed to get the gospel out around the world after the resurrection, and he was going to use those who were closest to him to do it. And I want you to notice something that Jesus said to these men. He said, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Huh. They saw Calvary. They saw the tomb. But he saw resurrection. He saw Pentecost. He saw the great movement of soul winning and church building all around the world for over 2,000 years. Only 12 were close enough to be with him in those last days. Let me say this. Did you know that only 10 were there after the resurrection? Say, no, there was 11. No, Thomas didn't come for 8 days. There were only 10. Now, listen to me very carefully here. One of those 12, shortly after this, betrayed Jesus. His name was Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot left the Lord's Supper, what we would call the Last Supper. And just so you know, they didn't sit in a long line at one long table with a bunch of long-haired, hippie-looking maggots eating. Amen. Just so you know. Jesus did not have long hair. 1 Corinthians says it's shame for a man to have long hair. If Jesus had long hair, he was shameful and he sinned and it was wrong. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. Don't get mad at me. One of those left the table, went out and sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus saw the battle coming, but he knew there was a resurrection coming. The disciples didn't see the battle coming, but they saw the battle. But he said, fellas, hang on. Resurrection's coming. There's more coming. You're looking at the wrong thing. Look beyond what you see right now. There's a whole lot you don't see yet. Just keep on going. Resurrection's coming. By the way, as soon as Judas did this, Jesus went on false trial. They accused him of treason. They accused him of blasphemy. They found him guilty. And the very people that came to watch his miracles are now demanding that he be crucified. The very people that once came to see his miracles were now saying, crucify, crucify. They beat him. They tore his back with a cat of nine tales 39 times. They literally had Jesus literally had his insides coming out his back and put a robe on him to hold him together to torture him a little longer. They took their hands and pulled his beard out by the handful. They coughed up the defilement of sin in their throats and spit it in his face. They nailed him to a cross and dropped it in a hole to where every joint in his body shook itself out of place. And there he hung for 9 hours for you and me. And he died. The disciples were afraid. Say, why were they afraid? Because they were afraid they were the next ones to have to go through that. They identified with Jesus. Were they going to be held the same way as Jesus was? Can you see how they could be afraid? But watch this. Jesus told them, just hang on. Resurrection's coming. Just hang on. The battle's here, but resurrection is coming. He went through all of that for you and for me. But watch this. Sunday morning came. Yes. By the way, Jesus wasn't crucified on Good Friday and resurrected on Sunday. Right. It's impossible to get 3 days and three nights from Friday night to Sunday morning. Just so you know. All right? I have a sermon 2 years ago, Easter, I preached it. Look it up online. Don't worry about it now. But the Catholics are wrong. It wasn't Good Friday and then Resurrection Sunday morning, all right? You can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. Everybody see that? Okay, there's only a day and a half at most in between there. They're off a little bit, and it's okay. They're off in other areas too. But Sunday morning came. Jesus got up out of the grave. And in John chapter 20, verse number 19, there were 10 people in a room gathered together. It was the 10 disciples, minus Thomas. They were gathered together in fear. And Jesus walked into the midst of them and said, "Fellas, peace be unto you. It's I, be not afraid." Amen. He said, "I'm here, just like I told you." All the fears were gone. There stands Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I've done a lot of funerals. And if I do a funeral and 4 days, 3 days and three nights later, on the fourth day after I did a funeral, that person starts walking into my office, there's going to be a new exit in my office. It may not be through the door, but I'm going out somewhere. Now, wait a minute. Jesus had done what he said he would do. I want you to see something. Jesus spent the next 40 days here on the earth. He walked with his disciples. I want you to see something else. He walked with them. He taught them. He spent time with them. He encouraged them. He got them pumped up. And he got them a big day planned. Say, what was it? It's called Pentecost. By the time you get between John chapter 6 and the crucifixion to Acts chapter 2, where you have Pentecost, it's 50 days. Jesus was with them for 40 of those days. Did you know that 10 days after Jesus resurrected, they had 3,000 people saved and baptized in one day? Wait a minute, they went from multitudes to 40, to 12, to 11, to 10, to none, back up to 10, back up to 11, to where you had 3,000 saved in one day. Watch this. Do you know how many met in Acts chapter 1 getting ready for Pentecost? There were 120 in that upper room. So in that 40 days, they went from 10 to 120. And then they went from 120 to watching God use those people to turn the world upside down. You and I sit at Grace Baptist Church today because somebody waited for the resurrection and did not leave. And the world has been turned upside down. We preach the same message that the disciples preached, that Jesus preached, and we have the same words of God because somebody did not go away. Now watch this. Grace Baptist Church, this is God's church. This church was started a little over 3 years ago. I'm not going to belabor the story. I'll give you a little of the story. But through a series of events, God made it very clear. I had been an assistant pastor for 22 years, almost 23 years. God made it very clear it was time to start Grace Baptist Church. It was very clear. And I didn't make a phone call. I didn't tell virtually anybody. I just started. I said, "Okay, God, if that's what you want, that's what we'll do." And lo and behold, we started in a hotel conference room. Any church that begins usually starts with a little bit of a wave. Ours started a little differently, but that's okay. We had a little bigger wave than most. But I have helped pastors all over the country, all over the world. I talked to three pastors this week, and they said, Brother Bush, you're in your third year. Let me tell you what you have faced in 3 years. I didn't ask them. They just told me. Do you know they gave me almost the biography of our church? Because that's what every church goes through. Every one of them. We had a big surge. Things were big and exciting. And then as big surges go, sometimes things kind of fade away. And then you get new people. And then things fade away. And you get new people. And things fade away. And you get new people. And we are where we are today. And guess what? We have endured. And resurrection is come. Amen. Resurrection has come. By the way, I've had friends come. I've had friends go. By the way, I've had friends come and go in the ministry for 26 years full time, and for the 48 years I've been alive in church. It's nothing new. By the way, they're still my friends. I've had people that move for good reasons. I've had people that have just moved away and never told me why, and never have begun to tell me why, and that's okay too. I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm here to tell you, I didn't start the church for them. God told me to start church for him. I said this the day I started this church. I say it 3 years later. I do not pastor Grace Baptist Church. God does. He's the head of the church, not me. I get to be his assistant. Amen. Not real good at pastoring, but I know how to assistant pastor, and I know who my pastor is. It's God. God started this church. I look over this auditorium this morning, and I see people that I've gotten to win to Christ, or some of our people have gotten to win to Christ, and God has changed your life while you're here. I've seen people who were out of church and we knocked on your door and God brought you back to church. Hey, can I tell you something? That's what Grace Baptist Church is all about. This is not some museum where we put people on display. It's a hospital where people come to get help. Amen. By the way, if Jesus tarries another, let's see, in 30 years, I'll be 78 years old. If I last another 30 years pastoring this church, people are going to come, people are going to go. It's going to be that way the rest of the life because that's what happens in church. Don't get discouraged. Resurrection's here. Now, God started this church. Let me just say this. It takes 3 years before a church that just starts from nothing gets to where it really is going to start. I had three pastors who've been in the ministry longer than I have tell me that this week. I asked one question: how long does it take a church that just starts before it really becomes its own church? Without hesitation, all three pastors said 3 years. We just passed the 3 year mark a month ago. Guess what? Look around. This is Grace Baptist Church. This is the root. This is the main foundation. By the way, I'm not upset. I'm not angry with people that have come and gone. God used them. God helped us. God knew we needed them when they were here, while they were here. God knows there's going to be more people come and go, but guess what? We're going to love them while we got them. Amen. We're going to put everything we can into them. I'm not here to get something out. I'm here to put something in. That's what this church is all about. Now, can I tell you something? From here on out, Grace Baptist Church, it's upward. The root system is caught. The base is here. Now we start really growing and becoming our church. Let me give you just three or four thoughts, and I'll let you get out of here. Number one, did you know God uses the scared, the hurt, and the common people to build his work? God uses the scared, the hurt, and the common man to build his work. Amen. Did you know we qualify? I don't know about you, but I'm not anything more than just a common man. I got up, fellers, and put my britches on the same way you did, one leg at a time today. I don't wear a $500,000 grapefruit on my head and get called the most holy reverend or El Papa or what's the other term, Mrs. Barton? Somebody called the church this week and wanted to talk to me, and they said, "What do we call the pastor?" I happened to hear her giggle and happened to hear in the phone what they said. I said, "Holy Reverend." She almost had to put the person on hold. She was laughing so hard, she's going like this. She said, "It's just Pastor Bush." And I said, "Oh, that's nice." And it was just so funny. It cracks me up. No, don't call me Reverend. I've seen some of them fellers. And don't call me Father and dress like Mama. Amen. My Bible says call no man Father but Him. Amen. Now, wait a minute. I'm just a common man. By the way, you're looking at a scared man. I didn't want to start a church. I didn't plan on pastoring, but God knew what I was supposed to do. I haven't wanted to do nothing I've done in life, let me tell you. I've been kicked, prodded, pushed, pulled, you name it. You ought to jump out by faith and try to start a church sometime. We'll find out what kind of courage you got. You ought to jump out by faith and wonder, how's God going to pay the bills? You know, we didn't put out hand you a receipt saying this is your bill for the day for coming to church and you got to pay this part of the bill to help us to finance God's work. Say, what'd you do? We passed the plate and we live by faith and let God take care of it. Now, I don't know about you. That's a lot of pressure on these shoulders, just so you know. But I push it off and say, okay, it's yours. We're going to do our best. God uses the scared. God uses the common man. Listen to me very carefully. You'll find better pulpiteering preachers in the country than I by far. I am not that great of a preacher. But I will tell you this. I'll give you everything I got out of that book I can get out of it. I live in that book. I love the God of that book. I walk with the God of that book to feed you what you need from that book, to make you want that book and want the God of that book. I'll give you everything I can, and it's pure doctrine. I don't give a flip what anybody says. Did you know that Gideon was a common man? Did you know that Gideon in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, was a scared man? Gideon was hiding from the Midianite army. They were in hiding, and he was afraid. Matter of fact, he was hiding behind the wine press where they would squeeze the olives and squeeze the grapes and different things to get the juice from them. He was hiding behind the wine press. He was the smallest man of the smallest family, of the smallest tribe, of the smallest nation in hiding. God came to him and said, "Hey, thou mighty man of valor." Gideon said, "Who are you talking to, God?" He said, "I'm going to use you to defeat the Midianite army." 32,000 soldiers came out to fight 135,000. Now that's 4-1. That's not good odds. And God said, "You got a problem with the number in your army?" He said, "Sure do." He said, "We're outnumbered 4-1. He said, "No, you got too many." He said, "God, what you talking about?" He said, "I want you to tell everybody that's afraid to go home." He said, "Can I leave?" He said, "No, you got to stay." He said, "Okay, fellas, anybody that's afraid, go home." 23,000 left. He had 10,000 versus 135,000. That's 13.5-1. No pregnant men, by the way. You'll catch that slow freight, 13.5. All right? He said, "God, I got a bigger problem." He said, "Yes, you do. You still have too many men." "God, what have you been taking?" He said, "Gideon, take them down to the creek and have them get a drink of water. Everybody gets on their all fours and sticks their head in the water. Send them home. Everybody gets down on one knee and uses their hand as a cup. You tell them to stay." 10,000. 300 got down on one knee and used their hand. 9,700 got down on their hands and their knees and stuck their face in the water like a dog and started drinking. "You go home, you go home, you go home, you go home, you stay, you go home, you go home." He went from 32,000 to 300. He had almost exactly 1% of his original crowd. He said, "God, okay, 300 to 135,000, that's 435-1. Where's our M16s? You got a smart bomb? I'll take a dumb bomb." Say, what did they have for weaponry? They had a clay pot, they had a torch, and they had a trumpet. 300 of them, one each. Okay, God, we're going to fill the pots with gasoline, put a rag in them, and make giant Molotov cocktails and burn them out. Nope. Gideon, I want you to gather 100 on that side, 100 on that side, 100 on that side, and at midnight, I'm going to give you the sign. Y'all run down the hill together, throw the pot down on the ground, lift the torch in the sky with one hand, blow the trumpet and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and watch what I can do. I'm going to, but I'd rather you make sure their swords are sharp so I don't feel it when they kill me. They did what God said. When they did that, they threw their clay pots down, broke them on the stones, held their torch up, blew their trumpets, and God said in the middle of the night, those guys got up, startled so bad they just started killing each other, and they literally killed each other, and those 300 men stood there guiding them to kill each other. God did it with a handful of people. God's process has always been a handful of people. He weans it down to a base, and then he says, watch what I can do, and we'll turn the world upside down. Look at David. David was chosen last of all his brothers. Matter of fact, they didn't even go out. They didn't even tell the man of God that they had another brother or another son. He said, oh, we just got a little teenage boy out back. He's just a little ruddy fella. You wouldn't want him. He said, let me go see him. Bring him here. God used David, a little shepherd boy, to lead the nation of Israel. The disciples were common people. Fishermen. They were tax collector. Nobody likes those. One of our former church members, still very friendly with us, and they're going to a church in the over in Maryland, over in the Frederick area. He called me this week and said, hey, I saw your picture at work on the wall. He works at the IRS building down here. I said, is that good or is that bad? He said, are your taxes paid? I said, yes. He said, no, it's good. You know, when the IRS says your picture's on the wall, that worries me, amen? He said, no, it's one of your gospel tracts. He said, I hear nothing but good about Grace Baptist Church. He said, I'm not even sure who put it up, but it had to be somebody, one of our employees. I loved it. I loved it. He said, it's all I'm hearing is about good about our about Grace. I love it. I love it. I love it. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. God needs this church to reach this area. If it's going to be reached, it's going to be reached by us.
Yes, sir.
These are people who were not perfect. By the way, we're not perfect. We're just forgiven. We're not sinless. We're just forgiven. God put Grace Baptist Church strategically right here in this area for such a time as this. In 3 years, God's allowed us to see almost 2,000 people get saved. We've been out soul winning. We've been out knocking on doors. We see people come. We see people go. By the way, it's not going to change in the next 30 years. It's going to be the same way. We're going to catch a few more and keep a few more along the way. That's our hope. God put us here to reach this area. South Berkeley County and Jefferson County, we're going to reach it. Amen? Mrs. Tuning and Thomas took the van down to Winchester today with Brother Stoltz out of town. She had 22 on a 12-passenger van this morning. We got to put some in the car to get them home. Can I tell you something? As soon as we get that old transmission fixed in that bus, look out. I'm excited. I'm excited. God used the scared, the hurt, and the common. You say, well, ain't much I can do, preacher. You're just like the rest of us. That's what God specializes in. Number two, they all got involved. They all got involved. Did you know there's something at Grace Baptist Church that every person can do? This church is a family. God's the head of it.
I'm not daddy. Okay? God is the head of the church. Church is supposed to be a family. It's not a social organization. It's not a members-only clique club. It's a family. It's where we sit down and enjoy each other as family, encourage each other as family, and we get help from Papa in heaven, and he shows us how to go out and grow the family. I texted my daughter-in-law this morning. And I hate using the term daughter-in-law, but because I have a daughter, I have to say that so that you know the difference between them. She's just my daughter. My son married her. She's part of our family. She's just like my own daughter. And I told her this morning, I said, Ruthann, I said, I've prayed for you. I want you to know I thank God that God gave you to my son. What a great pair you make. I am hopeful someday you and he will be as happy serving God as Mom and I are. I said, you're going to face some battles, but go through the battles together. Don't battle each other. She said, Dad, thanks. She said, I never expected to ever feel as much a part of your family as it was my family, but I'm as comfortable calling you dad as my own dad. Whew. What about you? But I sat at my desk and wept. Can I tell you something? This is my family. This is my family. Oh, yeah, my dad and mom are here. Miss Kim saw me this morning. My mom had her back turned as I came in. And I came in and scared her, and she about jumped off three chairs. I saw Miss Kim back there. She's going, yee. I walked her. I said, sorry. I am pastor, but I get to be son to that one, and sometimes it leaks out. Now, wait a minute. I love being family here. You know, we're supposed to be family. That means we share our needs with each other, but that also means we try to encourage one another. Did you know every person in this room can invite visitors to church? Every person. That's what one thing you could do. By the way, we're doing it. Did you know that every person in this room could shake hands with somebody else? If you're too good to shake hands with somebody, you're too good. And you're not as good as you think you are. Did you know? You say, well, I know something about that person, and they've said something bad about you or this church. Go shake their hand anyway. Smile, be kind, and I don't give a flip. Doesn't mean you listen to the bad they say. Just say, glad you're here. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I can. How about you? Did you know that everybody, we're going to practice something. Did you know everybody in here can smile? Now, I know for some of you, you think your face might crack, but it won't, I promise you. Let's practice it. You ready? On three, let's all smile. One, two, three. Not bad. Some of you, that's the first time you did it all day. Did you know it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? Some of you are overworking yourself. I'm lazy. I don't believe in overwork. My face, you can tell. All right. Did you know there's something else we can do? We can all tithe. Do your best. It's God's command. Now, watch this. I'm going to say something that might surprise you. Did you know every person in here could double your tithe? Not by you giving more money, but by every person in this room going out and reaching somebody that comes to this church, stays in this church, and starts tithing. You want to give more money? Go reach somebody, bring them to church. This is not a money-making business. But some of you wish you could do more. Well, go reach somebody, and they'll do part of it with you. That's God's plan, by the way. All of us could tell somebody about Jesus. Every one of us. Do you know, I've told, I don't know how many people about the Lord this week. I don't know how many tracts I've given out this week. I just keep resupplying the stock. Amen. Yesterday, we had people saved. We had people saved earlier this week. We have people saved by accident around here. Good night. We have people wander in, and my secretary jumps on them like stink on a bug. Amen? It's amazing what happens around this place. Can I tell you something? Everybody can tell somebody how to get saved. You say, I'm not sure what to do. Grab one of the gospel tracts on the back. It's got it. Read it to them. Tell them what you did to get saved, and watch what happens. Say, well, what if they don't do it? Then they got the gospel. That's just our responsibility. That's what it's all about. I was at Michelle's last week. I went to see her. She wasn't there. But while I was there, somebody pulled up in parking in the driveway there. Brother Ron was with me. I met her daddy and her brother. And I got to win her daddy to the Lord. I didn't go there to see him. I was at the right place, didn't talk to the person I planned to, but guess what? You can't give the gospel to the wrong person. You cannot give the gospel to the wrong person. Can I tell you something else you could do? You could be faithful to all the services. Now, I realize work. And I realize some of you older folks don't see as well at night. If you need a ride, give me a shout. Quit being so proud. Come to church. Amen. I'll get somebody to pick you up. I'll come pick you up. But we need Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, if you only go see your family once, when there's three times to see them each week, and you only go once, you're not as close to your family. We need church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We ought to be at all the services we can be at. Did you know we can all do our part? Hey, that means this. Unless there's some unknown reason, did you know, ladies, you could all be at the ladies' meeting? Well, I'm just not a big ladies' meeting person. I'm not either. And just so you know, I'm not going to be there. Can I tell you something? It's not for me. But you ladies will enjoy it. Hey, man, did you know, and I know not all of you can, but more of you could be at Saturday morning prayer meeting once a month, first Saturday of every month, 8 o'clock right here. What's it cost? We ask you for an offering. If you can't give nothing, who gives a rip? I don't care. You just show up. If you got a couple bucks in your pocket, throw it in. If not, you're welcome anyway, amen? Does not matter. Well, I don't know if you just show up, you'll feel a good part of the crowd, man. Did you know we have a secret friend thing for you ladies? That's a good way we could all get involved. Did you know that if you get here for Sunday school, usually in the adults especially, we have breakfast before Sunday school. Get here a little early. Help bring breakfast and get signed up for it. Eat breakfast. And there's something about, the Bible says, breaking bread together. We don't break bread. We break any kind of food. Amen? Good night. You know, there's always something somebody can do around here. Brother Harry and Miss Kathy, they've been cleaning the washrooms and the nursery for me every week, a couple times a week, quietly doing their job. Brother Ron usually is in here sweeping, and this week he got hurt a little bit and couldn't do what he was going to do. And I'd planned on being here early this morning since it was time change. And anyway, I'm here usually about 5:30 anyway, give myself plenty of time. I just planned on vacuuming up and picking things up. Brother Harry last night sent me a text, said, "Preacher, I love you." He said, "We looked in the auditorium and it hadn't been done." He said, "I hope you're not mad, but we kind of straightened up and swept in here." Whew. Brother Harry, you'll never know what that did to me last night. I said, "Oh, and I am so thankful. People just quietly doing what needs done." You got Brother Wiley out in the parking lot helping folks find a place to park so you don't run over each other. People opening doors. Got Hope here opening doors, and Brother Mike and others. Everybody just doing their part. Can I tell you, there's still more help needed. More help needed. Lastly, I love this. Are you ready? These people had a mindset for growth. They had a mindset for growth and work. And I've been around a lot of churches. I've preached in, I think, 29 or 30 different states. Did you know some churches have what I call the us for no more mentality? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you ever been to a church where you walked in and you were the stranger and nobody wanted to talk to you? The click club. I'm not kidding. I was invited to go preach in a church. Got there. They took me to the service. Preacher said, Just sit down somewhere, Brother Bush, and when we get to your part of the service, I'll bring you up. There's not enough room on the platform. I said, no problem. I came down, sat about second row right here. About 7 minutes before church started, this couple walked up and said, what are you doing sitting there? I said, oh, is this your seat? They said, sure is. I said, okay, I'll move somewhere else. So I moved down the road. They said, can't sit there. Somebody else is going to sit there. They didn't even know I was the one going to preach in a little while. I said, is there anywhere in the first couple of rows? Yeah, that one seat right there. I said, okay. So I went and sat in that seat. Did you know, even after I got done preaching, they weren't any kinder? Say, did that bother you? Can I tell you something? If somebody's sitting in your seat, find another one. You can come sit in mine if you'd like. I don't care. I hope we fill this up to where somebody has to sit there. Amen? Can I tell you something? Let's not get that way. A mind to grow. Well, I always park in this parking spot, and somebody parked in my parking spot. Did you know there's about 50 others? Don't worry about it. Am I doing okay? Okay, I'm having fun here. Hang on. Did you know that you're supposed to grow personally? I'm not talking about size, Brother Barnes. He's the one that did that, not me. All right? Now, wait a minute. Did you know I'm trying to grow? I've been trying to grow for a long time. But it just didn't work. About age 15 or so, it quit going up, and from age 40 on, it's going around. Now, wait a minute. I've had to grow as your pastor. You've had to endure some of my mistakes. You've endured some sermons that were big enough to big enough eggs to hatch twin dinosaurs from. But can I tell you something? I've loved you even when I made mistakes. And I'm growing. I'm doing better. I'm trying harder. I work myself as hard as I can work. Amen, Brother Jimbo? He'll drive by and say, preacher, you were here awful early this morning. I said, what do you mean? He said, I drove by 6:15. You'd already been here. Lights are on. He said, good night. I said, yeah, I was here quite a bit before then. 3:30 this morning, I got up. I thought about people in this room. I got up to stay up at 4:30. I was here by a little after 5. Say, why? Because you had to get your sermons ready? No, they were ready. I came to walk with God, and I prayed through every chair in this room. Prayed through the nursery and the Sunday school rooms and the junior church and out in the parking lot where you all would park and ask God to help you. I asked God to bring visitors in. Megan, I prayed for you and didn't even know your name. Amen. Say, why? Because I believe this is God's church, not mine. Amen. And I got to grow. You know, we need to realize numerically we're going to grow. Now, I know enough about church growth. It doesn't do this. There's never been a church ever built like that. It does this. But guess what? Our down's now bigger than our up. We've grown to where our down is bigger than our up was when we were up. I say that's growth. We had 11 more people in Sunday school this week than we had last week. So maybe we had a down week last week, but we're back up this week. I know people out of town. Brother Stoltz is out of town. The Hawkinses were down because Brother Hawkins fell off a ladder a week ago. And then we've got Rhonda's out of town, some others. Hey, can I tell you something? We've got folks that aren't here that are sick. Can I tell you something? Look what God did anyway. That's what growth's all about. You need to decide you're going to grow spiritually. You say, well, I've been saved longer than you, preacher. Well, if I can grow, you can grow too. Did you know that eventually our ministry is going to grow here? I said something a little while ago. By the way, it's in my sermon right here. Doubt me. It's right there. The sign out front says buildings for sale and for rent. We signed a 3-year lease on this building, and we can extend it up to 2 years longer. But I'm here to tell you, they want $1.8 million for this piece of property in this building. Now, I don't know about you, we'll never make this church really look like a church from the outside. It cost us another $3 million to do something like that. And I don't think we should waste God's money. We pay $6,000 in rent. We pay $2,000 for utilities. And we were paying $25,000 a year to keep this building to ourselves, which is another $2,000 a month. Well, we quit paying the extra $2,000 a month, but it's still costing us $8,000 a month to be in this building. I think we can better use God's money. So, just so you know, I'm being quite honest with you. This is where rumors get started. No, we didn't buy and break ground. But we're looking for it, just so you know. I'm a firm believer in it. I believe if we can get a piece of property within a mile or so of here, get 4, 5, 6, 7 acres, whatever we can get, put a building up, and keep on going. Guess what? I've been around enough churches that started in storefronts, warehouses, bars, you name it. As soon as you make that church building look successful and make it look like a church, things start hopping. Watched it over and over and over and over again. Now, this is home to us, but we're going to build a new home. Not fancy and not stained glass. But can I tell you something? It's just a people factory. Just a people factory. By the way, we're working on it. As soon as I have something concrete to bring to you, we'll talk about it. Say, what do we have? Nothing yet. But we've got about a year left of our lease. We got to do something. And it's time to think about how can we use God's money better. If we could go from $8,000 a month to about $2,000 a month and own a piece of property and the building on it, I think that's a good way to use $75,000 for something else to help other people. Yep. How about you? Now, wait a minute. I'm excited. You say, oh, where are we going to move, preacher? Wherever God wants us. But I've told God we're going to stay in this area. Just so you know. God put us here for a reason. We're going to stay in the area. Everybody doing okay? By the way, this preacher's staying. God's going to have to blow me with an hydrogen atom atomic bomb. And by the way, even if it blows up, I plan on surviving and getting up anyway. Listen to this statement, and I'll be done. Jesus knew the pain of having people he loved come and go. Will ye also go away? You know what his pain was? Not that they weren't there, but that they wouldn't see the success he had for them after resurrection. It wasn't just that he was going to miss them. He wanted them to experience the success. He kept the door open to them. I believe a lot of those people, after the resurrection, they went from 10 to 120 in the upper room. That means that a lot of that 40 came back and some of that multitude came back. They had gathered a little bigger crowd around them. And then that 120 went out at Pentecost, had 3,000 saved and 3,000 baptized in one day, and got added to the church daily, such as should be saved. And it exploded. God used them to turn the world upside down. Whew. I would expect God is about to take Grace Baptist Church, and we're about to go to a new level, just so you know. One of these days, I plan on growing enough to hire an assistant pastor. He's not going to be a golfing buddy. He's not going to be a fishing or a hunting buddy. He's going to be an assistant pastor who's going to work and help you and help build our church. And I plan on someday God opening the door for us to maybe start a Christian school so we can train our kids the right way and don't have to listen to the filth of the world. And I plan on hiring some more assistant pastors because we're growing so much that I can't take care of it myself. Now, wait a minute. I'm not afraid of the 80, 90 hour weeks.
I've been doing them for over a quarter century. And it's probably going to be that way till the day I die. But can I tell you this? We're going to grow. It's not going to be just this little crowd. We're going to grow. God's going to use what's sitting in this room right now. We have reached that spot to where Jesus was at. We're at that spot where Gideon was at. Now what are you going to do? Oh. Can I tell you something? Everybody here knows somebody you can bring. Everybody here can go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Everybody here can show up. Everybody here can do their part. Everybody here can do something. Everybody here can smile. Jeez. Everybody here can shake a hand. Everybody can do their part. By the way, some have come, some have gone. Some will come, some will go. It's not going to change. There's an ebb and flow to churches. By the way, you get mad at churches for that, but how is it at work? There's as much ebb and flow in employment as there is at churches, just so you know. And they're getting paid to stay there. We're not paying you to stay here. Huh. Let's just all do our part. Grace Baptist Church, I ask this question. How close do you want to be to the growth? How close do you want to be to Jesus? I don't know about you, but I want to be on ground level with him. Amen. I want to be right in there, elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder, just with my nose to the grindstone saying, come on, Lord, you lead, I'll follow. Amen. We're just going to keep doing it God's way. Don't get down. Don't get mad. Don't worry if somebody comes sits in your seat. Say, praise God, I got to find another one. Isn't that what it's all about? That's what Jesus said. Will ye also go away? Won't you wait around till resurrection? Because I plan on turning this thing inside out, upside down, and on its head. Guess what? God's made it very clear. He's going to use Grace Baptist Church to turn this area upside down. It's already there, just so you know. It's already there. We just got to do our part now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I wonder if that's you. Who would say, first of all, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, and I won't embarrass you no more than those that I just called. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, something in that sermon is what I needed personally today. I needed something in that sermon today. That was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. Grace Baptist Church, how about we today come to this altar and do business with God so that he can do business with us.